Join me in welcoming all of our locations in Somerset, Williamsburg, here in London, all of our friends online. Thank you so much. Let's give them a hand. So glad that you are here. You can be seated. Man, so excited to start 2026. So great to see you now that the holidays are behind us and all the traveling. And just so good to be here with you. What a great day today. So I want to ask you a question. When you think about heaven, what do you think it's going to be like? There's a lot of opinions about heaven. There's a lot of pictures about heaven. I thought I would show you a few of them. Here's one. Is this the Bible or is this Hallmark? All right. Let's go to the next one. Oh, that one, yes. We're all little angels floating. All right. Now, hang on a second. Don't go to the next one yet. Hang on. See, growing up, I knew about heaven. I didn't know a lot about what heaven contained or what it would be like. And I got to be honest with you, it felt boring to me. Like, to go to heaven felt like you're missing out. Like, it's kind of a letdown. Now, for those of us in Kentucky here, so I know we have people watching online that are not in the bluegrass state. But for those here, I would say a lot of people believe this is what heaven looks like. Throw that one up if you would. What do you think, guys? Come on now, come on. So here's what we're doing this series. We're doing this series not just to learn something. The fast that we're on right now, I come right beside Zach and ask you and challenge all of you along of all locations to join in this fast is to gain clarity and conviction and consistency in our life. When it comes to heaven, we want to understand what it really is and what it isn't. Because to the early Christians, to those that were the early followers of Jesus and through the first centuries into the first millennia, the greatest hope for followers of Jesus was not this earth. It was what came next. And what came next impacted and shaped how they lived on this side of the grave. So we gotta know it because we need a conviction in us about what heaven is and it isn't. So that it will build a consistent way of living in our life. That we don't get as rattled by here because we know about there. And because we know about there, it shapes how we live here. Are you with me on this?
Yes.
Now, to understand heaven, we've got to understand the past. We've got to understand the greater biblical story, the greater narrative. Let's go to Genesis chapter 1, verse 3, all right? This is God's plan for the ages. Are you ready? Genesis 1, 31. And God saw everything that he had made, and behold, it was very what?
Good.
It was very what?
Good.
And there was evening and morning the sixth day. God created the heavens and the earth in 6 days. He rested on the seventh. And God said everything he created was good. It was perfect. He created Adam and Eve. He placed them in the Garden of Eden. The Bible says the Garden of Eden was perfect. There was no bloodshed. There were no roaches. There was no hurricanes. There was no cancer. There was no rejection. It was perfect. And God made it that way. And what made it Eden, what made it great was every day God would come down in his presence and would walk with Adam and walk with Eve. And they enjoyed this unfiltered, beautiful relationship with God in a perfect place, with bodies that would never grow old. They would never get wrinkled. They would never get sick. And God told Adam, I want you to take what's in the garden. I want you to take this atmosphere. I want to partner with you, and you partner with me, Adam and Eve, and I want you to multiply and subdue the earth and fill the rest of the planet with the atmosphere of Eden. That was God. That's how it all started. But Adam and Eve sinned. And when they sinned, they broke it. And because they sinned, we have disease. Because they sinned, we have car crashes. Because they sinned, we have funerals. Because they sinned, we have walkers and wheelchairs. Because they sinned, we have murder and anger and cheating and betrayal. I could go on and on. It all stems from the sin in the Garden of Eden. Are you with me so far? That's the first bookend of God's story and God's plan for the ages. Now we got Genesis. Let's go to Revelation, the other end. Excuse me. Verse 3, Revelation 21. And I heard a loud voice from the throne. So remember, this is John, the last of the disciples, apostles. He was the last one living. The Holy Spirit was opening his eyes to what was in the future so he could document it and share it with us. And to share it, Revelation was written not to have charts and graphs. Revelation was written to encourage believers that were under persecution, that were living in difficulty, that this earth is not all there is. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, behold, the dwelling place of God is with, what's that word, man? Okay, wait. That sounds familiar. Let's keep reading. He will dwell with them. That's familiar. What did we read about in Genesis? God would come down in Eden, right? On earth and be with them. Let's keep going. And they will be his people, and God himself will be with them as their God. He will wipe every tear from their eyes. Can I get an amen for that? And death shall be no more. Neither shall there be mourning, nor crying, nor pain anymore, for the former things have passed away. And he who was seated on the throne, it's my favorite verse in the Bible right here, verse 5, behold, I am making all things new. Also he said, write this down, for these words are trustworthy and true. Now, Garden of Eden, Adam and Eve, God's presence, perfect, never grow old, never die, perfect bodies, boom. Sin enters the world, it breaks it. There's a whole lot in between, okay? Where we will spend eternity, God's going to make a new earth. This earth as we know it will be consumed. We'll talk more about that probably next week. It'll be consumed. And God will make a greater Eden. It will be heaven on earth. We won't be floating around in the sky. He's making a new earth. Heaven will be on earth because when God originally made earth before sin, it was what? Good. It was good. It was what? Good. It's good and perfect. That's right. So God made it. Now God's going to make it even better because God's grace is greater than sin. So what God does after the sin will be greater than before the sin. You with me? So God's going to make a new heaven and a new earth here. And we will be able to enjoy this earth without sin. We'll be able to enjoy the good things that are moral and good. You'll be able to enjoy the outdoors. You'll be able to enjoy relationships. We will have responsibilities and jobs, but without sin. And our bodies will be perfect. And we'll never get the flu. And we'll never grow old. And we'll never go to a funeral. And we'll never say goodbye. That will be heaven. This is where we will spend all of eternity. It starts in Eden, and it ends in a greater Eden. Are you following me so far? Now, and there's a whole lot in between all that. I'm going to give you an overview today. Next week, we're going to dive into what happens between now and then. As best we can, I'm not bringing out a big chart, okay? May have something on the screen, but it's not like this is the date. No. What's the Bible teach?
No man knows.
That's right. Thank you. And we're gonna talk about that. Okay. Now, that's the past. Let's talk about the present. So today's message is about the past, present, and future. So the present is, Jesus said in Matthew 4:17, from that time, Jesus began to preach saying, repent, for the kingdom of heaven or the kingdom of God is at hand. Now, bookends. Garden of Eden, new heaven, new earth. When Jesus came, remember, what is the new heaven, new earth? There'll be no sin. There'll be no death. There'll be no goodbyes. There'll be no regrets, okay? When Jesus came, Jesus said, I come to bring heaven to earth. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Say it with me. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. So Jesus came and he began the process of restoring people, restoring lives, restoring testimonies, restoring bodies. So why did Jesus heal? Jesus healed because he was bringing the reality of heaven to earth. He was restoring what Adam and Eve had broken. Why did Jesus save? Because the only people that will be in the new heaven and the new earth are people that have turned to Jesus Christ as their Savior. So he's bringing heaven to earth. Why did Jesus love the outsiders, the outcast? Because at the foot of the cross and in heaven, there is no greater and lesser. We're all equal in the name of Jesus. Jesus brought to earth. So this affects our mission here. We're not just supposed to sit here and just, man, I just can't wait to get out of here. Whoa. That's not even biblical. We'll talk about that more next week. It's not even biblical. But this, I mean, I'm just waiting for heaven. We're to look forward to heaven. But we're just as importantly supposed to bring heaven here. So we're talking about clarity, conviction, consistency. That's our mission here. We'll talk more about that. I'm not going to get deep into it today. But the here on earth, terra firma, planet earth, we're to bring, because what makes heaven heaven is Jesus, his presence. When you turn to Jesus as your Savior, salvation, right? The Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit, God himself, the Spirit of Jesus comes to live within you. The kingdom of God, the kingdom of heaven begins to live in you. And when we say yes and take the next steps in our life, heaven flows through us into this earth, and we get snapshots and we get glimpses, and you can sense it when people, like when we had these moments, like, okay, we were singing Because He Lives. You can sense it. It's like, this is so good. This is right. I can sense something happen in this place. Why? Because we are gonna praise the name of Jesus yes. throughout the ages. So this is a picture of it. Look, look, look. When we were in those revival nights in September, we saw 150 plus baptized in a week. And we were here and we couldn't get the people in the room and we were in overflow and it was jammed to the walls. Why? Because it tastes like something. This is bigger than cars and houses and jobs. This is bigger than cancer and this is bigger than the economy. This is bigger than elections and this is bigger. There's something about this that just smells right. Why? Because heaven was breaking into her. When you spend time with your kids and you're really focused on them and you're not distracted and it's just one of those days that you're just in it. It's like, this is right. What's happening is you're bringing heaven to earth. When we give, I just go on and on. That's the now. Now that's the here. Now let's talk about heaven now. We talked about heaven here. Let's talk about heaven now. Where do people go that are followers of Jesus? Where do they go now? Where is my dad right now? Where is your dad right? Where's your mom? Where's your child? Your brother? Let's talk about it. Here we go. Luke 23. Jesus is on the cross. This is the thief, the second thief. The first one, you know, mocked him. Here's the second one. Then he said, Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom. And Jesus replied, I assure you today, say today.
Today.
So it was immediate. You will be with me. Who is the me? Jesus. So Jesus is there in paradise or the heaven. In theological circles, this, or in terminology, not circles, but terminology, this is called the intermediate heaven. My dad, your loved ones who have been born again, were saved, they're in what's called the intermediate heaven. It's heaven. Now, what do we know about this? We don't know a ton about it, but we do know some things. We know, number one, that Jesus is there. The presence of God, the presence of Jesus, he's there. We know that it has no sin. There are no curses from sin. Okay, so there's no disease, there's no cancer, there's no heart conditions, there's no mental illness, there's none of that, okay? We know that people are not angels. So let me help you here. I hear this as kind of like a folk saying in our culture, well, mama died because God wanted another angel. Okay, I understand what you're saying, and I don't want to make light of that, but let me help you. People don't become angels. Babies that die don't become angels in heaven. Let me tell you why. Because God said human creation is greater than angels. See, angels are in a good way, in a healthy way, jealous of us. Because they have never sinned, and they don't understand the forgiveness and grace of God when you sin. They do not understand the level of relationship that you and I can have with Jesus Christ. So for a person to become an angel would be to be lesser than, not just different than. So people don't become angels. Here's another thing we know about this. People that are there are conscious. Yes. The book of Hebrews, one of numerous passages, We know that it says there's a great cloud of witnesses of people that are cheering us on. So my dad, your family members, they're in heaven. They're cheering us on. They're praying for us. They're cheering for us. They are cheering for you and I right now. They understand more about what's happening than they ever stood here on earth. Okay? That's the intermediate heaven. This is not where we will spend eternity. Amen. The intermediate heaven will come to an end.
Yes.
Okay? When God brings the new heaven and the new earth. All right? So is my grandmother, is she awake? Yes. Is your grandmother healed? Yes. Is she? But this heaven will come to an end. It's the heaven now, or the intermediate heaven. Just like you have the intermediate heaven, you have the intermediate hell. We can't talk about heaven without talking about hell.
Exactly.
Look what it says. In Mark 9, verse 47, let me tell you something else about the heaven now. Where is it located? It's in the spiritual realm, the angelic realm. So as I've shared with you before, you and I live in two worlds. We live in a physical world, and we live in a spiritual world. There's a real world that you cannot see with your eyes. What we know about the spiritual world is that it's bigger than the physical world. And it's greater than the physical world. By the way, everything that happens on earth happens in the spiritual first. The earth is reacting to the spiritual. We're not shaping the spiritual. The spiritual's shaping us. You with me? It's a real world. In that realm is the heaven now. It's not like I can say it's over Texas, or better yet, over Kentucky, we don't know, or over Hawaii. It's in the spiritual realm. What we need to know today is it's a real place. The Bible says when we are absent from the body, we are immediately present with the Lord. If you've given your life to Jesus, not if you were good, or you had good intentions, or you tried. No. If you've turned to Jesus Christ as your Savior. Now, just like absent from the body, present with the Lord, if we die without Jesus, absent from the body, present in hell. What makes heaven, heaven, is Jesus is there. What makes hell, hell, is he's not. See, look, before I read Mark chapter 9, there's this, I want you to remember this word. It's called common grace. Say common grace.
Common grace.
Common grace is the grace of God that's available for everybody. It's not saving grace. It's common grace. So you and I, whether you believe in God or you don't, or whatever, wherever you are on the spectrum, you benefit from common grace. You benefit from hospitals. You benefit from law and order. You benefit from air that you breathe. You benefit from friends. You benefit from good food. You benefit from water. You benefit, I can go on and on. This is common grace. Hell is grace completely removed. None of us, and those watching, none of us that have ever lived on this earth in past, present, or future will ever know what it's like to live without the common grace of God.
That's a good word. Yes, it is.
Okay? Now look at Mark 9. Look what it says. And if your eye causes you to sin, gouge it out. And he's being metaphorical, so don't go pluck your eye out. It's better to enter the kingdom of God, talking about heaven, with only one eye than to have two eyes and be thrown into hell. This is Jesus talking now. Where the maggots never die and the fire never goes out. Somebody said, well, Jesus never talked about fire and hell. There he did right there. He did. Now, fire is not what makes hell hell. What makes hell hell is that Jesus isn't there. It's all gone. Now, this hell, like the intermediate heaven, will also come to an end. So that's the past. That's the rest. Let's talk about the future real quick. All right. The future heaven. Here we go. Revelation 21, verse 1. Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth had passed away. Remember, I told you it's going to come to an end. So the intermediate heaven, where my dad is, will come to an end. And the sea was no more. So all the oceans are gone. Everything's gone. He makes a new earth. And I saw the holy city, New Jerusalem. Say New Jerusalem. New Jerusalem. Coming down out of heaven from God. Prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. Now, just like you have the bookends of Eden and the greater Eden, new heaven and new earth, the Bible is a wedding narrative. Those of us that give our lives to Jesus are known as the bride of Christ. That's why you want to be careful criticizing the church. They'd be like you coming to me criticizing my wife. Are you with me? Because the Creek Church, not just the Creek Church, but the Creek Church, is the bride of Christ. Those of us that have given our lives to Jesus, not just people that are here, but those of us that have given our life to Jesus, we are the bride of Christ. Now, God today is getting us ready for our husband. We're not ready for him yet. We'll talk more about that next week. When is Jesus going to come? When's he going to return? When the bride is ready. That, as you'll see next week, that puts all of today into scope. Okay? Now, the New Jerusalem will be the capital city. The New Jerusalem is where the streets of gold are. The walls of jasper. The mansions, okay? When Jesus said, I go to prepare a place for you. My house has many rooms. He's speaking to the new heaven and new earth. So where my dad is today, he's not walking on streets of gold. Okay? That's not now. That's then. Are you following me? Now, it's important, but I'd like to believe that it's like this. Well, here's the thing. What you believe about heaven shapes how you live on earth. It shapes everything. So heaven is not some spooky, floating, we're just going to sing around the clock. It's going to be one long church service we never get out of. It's not going to be that. Everything, think of the best day you've ever had in your life. One of those days that all the pieces just line up. Heaven will be that every day on steroids. This is why believers for centuries have looked to that day and believed. Listen, we're living now, we're serving now, we're faithful now, we're practicing now for life there. Yes. We're living now for life there. God, we're gonna go to heaven and heaven is in us now on earth. Yes. Follow me? Okay. Just like there's a future heaven, there's a future hell. Look what it says in Revelation 20. So the hell today, which is also in the spiritual realm, okay, will come to an end. Verse 14. Then death and the grave, because that's speaking of all of that, okay, were thrown into the lake of fire. The lake of fire is the what death?
Second.
The death. What's the first? The hell now. And anyone, say anyone. This is not Brad, this is Bible. Whose name was not found recorded in the book of life was thrown into the lake of fire. Now, what's the book of life? Well, there are certain books in heaven. One of them is the book of life. When you turn to Jesus as your Savior and you respond to his calling you and you turn to him and you repent of your sin, you turn to Jesus as your Savior, your name is written in the book of life. Here's the good news. That pen doesn't come with an eraser. It's written. Now, the people that will spend eternity on earth, in heaven, are not just Americans, or moral people, or helpful people, or people that try hard. It's people that have given their life to Jesus and their names are written in the book of life. You follow me on this now?
Yes.
Now, the greatest encouragement that you and I have that all of this is real is the resurrection of Jesus. When Jesus rose from the grave, we'll celebrate that in a few months at Easter. We celebrate it every week, but we'll specifically celebrate it on Easter. Jesus physically rose from the dead. He appeared to his disciples. He appeared to over 500 people in one setting. He ate with them. He talked. They touched his body. He wasn't a ghost. This is what fired them up to take the message of Jesus to the world, as his resurrected body was proof that death no longer has the final say. Now, one day, based on the resurrection of Jesus, okay, our physical bodies die. Not our soul, but our flesh and bones die. It goes in a grave, or it goes in an urn, okay? And that body is in the grave. But the Bible says that Jesus will return a second time. Like he came the first, he'll come again. We'll talk about more next week. When he comes, the Bible says those that were followers of Jesus whose bodies are in the grave, those graves will open, but it won't be that old 85-year-old body that joins the soul. It'll be a brand new body that joins the soul and will go to be with Jesus, and then we're going to travel with him, and he's going to come back down. Okay? We'll talk about that more next week. That's the hope. So what do we do with this in closing? Well, number one, I hope you see the reality that all of this is not all there is, that there's life after life. Do you know that when you take your last breath, you'll be in the presence of Jesus, or will you be in hell? And I hate having to say that. But I gotta preach the Bible, man. And I know it's not fun, and I know it rubs. I get it. I don't like it either, but it's truth. I wish I could get up here and just fill you with fluff and speak vaguely and talk in circles, and I wish I could do that, but I can't. Will you be in the presence of the Lord? Or will you be separated from God for all of eternity? I encourage you to place your trust in Jesus. I'm gonna give you that in just a moment. Number two, we're to pray for the return of Jesus. All right? All throughout Scripture, a couple of places in particular, in Corinthians and in Revelation, we see the statement, "Come, Lord Jesus." That is the word Maranatha. Say Maranatha. That means come, Jesus. This was a common greeting in the early church. They would see each other, hey, Bill, Maranatha. Maranatha, because they looked forward. They prayed for the return of Jesus. We're gonna pray for that. We're gonna have prayer tonight, 6 p.m. at every location. One of my prayers this year is that 50% of the people who attend on Sundays come to prayer. We moved it to Sunday night to make it better for people to come. There'll be childcare, everything. Come tonight. Number three, that I would prioritize my life with the urgency of eternity. When I was about 9 years old, my dad took me with him to speak at a church in St. Petersburg, Florida. This pastor was a great guy. He had a boat. So he took us out one night with the stars in the sky and took us out and we rode in this boat through Tampa Bay. I was like third grade. And we came up to this humongous bridge. It was known as the Skyway Bridge. It's huge. And the pastor pulled up underneath, pointed up, and you had one bridge that was going south and another bridge that was going northbound traffic, right? The southbound bridge, the whole middle portion was gone. And he told me and my dad the story. It was on, get the date right, May 9th, 1980. The freighter, the Summer Venture, crashed into the Skyway Bridge with the middle section plunging into Tampa Bay. It was a very thick, foggy night. And cars were going into the bay. One guy, his name is Paul Hornbuckle, he saw these lights disappear, these taillights, and he looked to his left and he could see there was something missing and he began to hit his brakes. And there was some metal from the remains of the bridge that caught his tires. Here's a picture of his car. Here it is. Stops. There was three guys in the car with him. One guy's named Anthony Gaddis. Anthony Gaddis gets out. It's foggy. He starts walking back this way towards you and me. He's like, hey, stop, stop, stop. The bridge is out, the bridge is out, the bridge is out, the bridge is out. People. One was a Greyhound bus. It carried the span of ages from a 7-month-old baby to an 86-year-old grandmother and all in between. But he was able to stop some cars. And they were able to stop 12 vehicles and those that followed them from going into the bay. When I look at that picture, go back, throw it back up there. Leave it up there, please. When I look at that picture, to me, that's the priority of eternity. Our lives one day will end. 86,000 people die worldwide every day. One day, you and I will be in that number. Unless Jesus comes first. You will face the result of your choices. Jesus? No, Jesus. Look, church, go back, leave it up, please. Church, you and I, this is our mission week after week after week. We've been spared, heaven's in us, let's reach people. This is what brings priority to Sunday. Throughout the week, this is why we do what we do. Because eternity is real. Heavenly Father, I thank you for today. Thank you for your truth. God, thank you for what we've learned today. Thank you, Lord, that you're with us now and you'll be with us then. We thank you for that. I pray you'd bless this time where I pray in your name that every location that people that have not yet turned to you as their Savior would make that decision, that they would not wait another day. That the rest of us would lean in. Is there anything in us that's in the way? Is there anything, is there a next step that I need to take that I haven't taken? Maybe you need to be baptized. Maybe you need to apologize. Maybe you need to say, I'm gonna get more involved in the creek. Whatever it is, that you make that choice today. Take that next step. In Jesus' name, amen. With heads bowed and eyes closed, here in London, if you say, Brad, I want to settle it today. I want to know that I know that when I take my last breath here, I'm immediately in the presence of Jesus. With every head bowed and every eye closed across this great room, lots of people, if you prayed that with me, on the count of three, I want you just to raise your hand. One, two, three, raise it up. Come on, Brad, come on, throw it up. Hi, I can see it. Thank you. Give my hand, guys, all over. Thank you, thank you. I want to invite you to pray with me privately in your heart, just something like this. Just say, Dear Jesus, I admit that I'm a sinner and I cannot save myself. And I believe that you died on a cross for me and rose again for my sin. And I want to spend eternity with you. I want to be obedient to you. I ask you to come live in me, to save me, to wash me clean, and make me a new creation. In Jesus' name, amen. You can look up here with every head, with all of us looking up here. If you prayed that with me, would you just put your hand up? Brad, that was me. Put it up. Thank you, sir. Thank you. Thank you. All over. Thank you. Awesome. Please take out one of those connection cards in the seat back in front of you, a little green card. Put your name, info, as much as we can read it. And check off that little box that says, I'm choosing to follow Jesus. There are boxes by the doors on your way out. You can drop it in. And by the way, if you came in after the offering, you can put your offering in those as well. I'm so proud of you. Let's all stand together.